Our speaker tonight is person, Brother Larry Bishop. He's the minister of the Nathan S. Street Church of Christ at Fort Smith, Arkansas. So thankful to have him on. Brother Bishop will talk about ain't no win if you continue in sin. Coming from Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Ain't no win if you continue in sin. All right, Brother Bishop, let's hear what that's about.
Thank you, Brother Tommy, for that introduction. Thank all of those guys who have been diligent in putting forth this effort over the last year in particular, and the far-reaching consequences of the gospel meeting call. Just a blessing to be a part of this effort, and I am truly honored to be able to speak once again on behalf of Christ with the intent of helping someone who has not come to put on Christ in baptism to make that most urgent decision to render themselves obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. My subject this evening, a no win if you continue in sin. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 20, Romans chapter 5, verse number 20, the scripture says, "Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might Christ reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." And as you would notice, as you have your copy of God's Word in front of you, as you go to Romans chapter 6, verse number 1, it addresses what had just been spoken of, this thing about sin. It says in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, based upon what had just been spoken about, there was a thought evident in the minds of some that because grace was so great and wonderful and grace was needed where there was sin, someone developed the idea. The idea was bred in the mind of someone, it seems, that if grace is such a good thing from God and grace is so wonderful, if it's related to sin in such that where there is sin, there is more need for grace, what if I just continue in sin? What we have here is someone who got the message completely wrong, completely taken out of context, taken out of its proper place. And Paul here addresses this misunderstanding, if you would. He says in Romans chapter 6, verse number 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Paul says, is that the question that's on your mind? Is that the conclusion that you somehow came to based upon the need of grace when it comes to dealing with this thing called sin? How is it, is that what you're telling me, that that's the conclusion that you came to, that I should just continue in sin, that I may continue to see even a more abundant a measure of grace? Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul says, that's not what I'm talking about. Paul says in verse number 2, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And from this I get my subject for this evening, a no win if you continue in sin. A no win if you continue in sin. Bear with me for a moment here as I continue to read throughout this text. I want to go to verse number 23, and then I'm going to give you a couple of points here in hopes that it will sink into your heart, especially if you are not a member of the body of Christ, the Church of Christ, especially if you are a member of the Church of Christ, but you have gone astray and you're living a life of sin. I want to encourage you, in the first case, to obey the gospel and become a member of the body of Christ, recognizing your need of salvation, your need of having your sins remitted. And in the second place, if you have are a child of God, but you have fallen away, I want to encourage you to come back through this message this evening. So Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, bear with me, please. Verse number 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? So Paul makes this case to help dispel this idea that has been bred in the mind of some that they, in order to get more grace, they need to have more sin in their life, so they're going to just just keep on sinning. Paul says, let me give you the answer to this. Let me fix this. Let me clear this up for you. And I hope and pray that tonight I will help somebody to clear this up in their mind. If this is their mindset, their way of thinking, I hope this will help clear it up for you. Paul's answer to that is, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. He says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. Paul said, here's the answer. I need you to bear with me. I'm trying to give you the answer to this question that has been bred in the mind of some, and into the minds of some. He says, for we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we should be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Paul said, here's some things that you did. Here's the thing that I did. He says, here's the thing that you need to know. Here's the things that I need to know. Here's what I need you to know. Knowing this, that your old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Paul says, for he that is dead is free from sin. He says you are free from sin. That is never the case where you ought to hasten back into that state and put yourself at jeopardy again just in order to receive the grace of God. Paul says, I want to clear up this misunderstanding. Verse 8 says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, died no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, let not sin, therefore, verse 12, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Then he goes on to say, to help continue to clear up this misunderstanding, this false teaching possibly, that someone had started in during that time. He says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Paul says, I'm not talking about staying in sin that the grace of God may abound. I don't want you to believe. I don't want you to hold on to that understanding of that teaching. He says, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. He goes on to say, for sin should not have dominion over you. Don't try to stay in sin. Don't continue in sin. He says, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? Once again, Paul says, God forbid. He says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin, watch this, unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Paul says, let's pause here. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from what? If you continue in sin, it's a no win. He said, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as you have yielded your members' service to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members' servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. But now Paul says, now you are righteous, now you should be free from sin. He says, what fruit had ye then in those things? Well, if you are now ashamed, for the end of those things is death. But now being made free, there it is again, from sin, and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Now, here's the big hoorah. Here's the big finale. Paul says, for the wages, watch this, if you continue in sin, you're in a no-win. It's a no-win if you continue in sin, Paul says, for the wages of sin is death. That is a no-win situation. For the wages of sin is death. That's not a win. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then I want you to understand that Paul says the wages of sin is death. So as you look at this, Paul says, God forbid. The wages of sin is death. Listen. Friends, listeners tonight, brothers and sisters, whoever you may be, wherever you may be, That is a no-win situation. Let me ask you, have you ever found yourself in a no-win situation? A no-sin situation can be summed up to be when your choice leads to no positive outcome for you. Let me give you an example. An executioner offers the condemned individual the opportunity to be shot, poisoned, or hung, which is going to lead to death. This is a no-win situation. Whether a person chooses to be shot, poisoned, or hung, which is the intent is to lead to that death, for them, that is a no-win situation. And an even more serious, if you believe there could be such, an even more serious thought involves your soul salvation. To continue in sin places you in a no-win situation. What is this sin you're talking about, preacher? I'm not familiar with the Bible. Can you help me? Can you help me to understand this thing, sin? What is sin? Sin, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, God's word says sin is a transgression of the law. It's a breaking of the law of God. John says, whosoever commit a sin transgress also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. It's a no win if you continue in sin. All manner of sin is forgiven unless you choose to continue in sin. Whosoever commit a sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. You can be forgiven for sin, but if you make a choice to continue in sin, that is a no-win situation. And along with that being a no-win situation, to help you to understand how serious that is, Hebrews chapter 10, the Hebrew writer says, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, for if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. If you make up your mind that you are going to just continue in sin, after you have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. That means nobody else is going to come. No new message, no new revelation is going to come. There's nothing else different going to be done for you that has not been done for mankind as a whole. There is no more sacrifice for sin. Jesus is not going to go back to the cross just for you. If you think you are that important, that God is going to make an exception for you, let me tell you, he's done everything he is going to do. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. So if that's the case, what is there? Verse 27 of Hebrews chapter 10 says, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fear and indignation which shall devour the adversaries. It goes on to speak that he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. If that's the case, under Moses' law, one who despised it died without mercy under two or three witnesses testifying against them, how much more sore punishment, verse 29 says, suppose ye shall be thought worthy of who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So you can't just say, well, I want to have more sin. I'm just going to keep on living in sin so that I have received more grace from God. That's not how this works. For we know him that have said, verse 30 says, vengeance belongs unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. And the Hebrew writer closes this way. He says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Who is one that will fall into the hands of the living God? One who has been caught up in a sin and has not taken the opportunity to repent. There is no more sacrifice for sin. Not only is there no more sacrifice for sin, just to help you understand that it's a no-win if you continue in sin, there is no more sacrifice for sin. That's the first point. The second point is there is a payday for sin. Romans chapter 3, verse number 23. You say, preacher, you got my attention now, and I'm getting a little afraid. Well, let me tell you this. If you die in your sins, you need to be afraid. You need to be very, very afraid. You see, there is a payday for sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Paul says, for the wages, the payday of sin is death. But you don't have to be in that case. But if you continue in sin, it's no win. But you don't have to be found in that case. Because Paul also says in that same text, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Will you choose Jesus Christ our Lord and eternal life? Would you choose that gift from God? If you don't, then you're saying that you're okay with the payday. For the wages of sin is death. Not only that, it's a no win if you continue in sin. There's no more sacrifice of sin, first of all. There's a payday for sins, which is death. The third thing I want you to hold on to this evening, if you die in sin, Jesus says, where I am, you cannot come. You can't go where Jesus is. That in and of itself should be frightening enough to get your attention this evening. In John chapter 8, verse number 21, John says, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. That's a finality. Jesus says in Luke 13, 3 and 5, except you repent, you will perish. That has a finality to it that cannot be overcome if you choose to continue in sin. It's a no win. He says, where I go, you cannot come. Then says the Jews, verse 22 of John chapter 8, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. And he says unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above, you are of this world, I am not of this world. I say it therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. You ever try to stress a point to somebody? This is Jesus stressing the seriousness of this point. He says, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. That is of no benefit to you. If you continue in sin, it is a no win. Not only is there no more sacrifice for sin, there's a payday for sin, which is death. If you die in your sin, Jesus says, where I am, you cannot come. This thing that we have to be aware of is sin. First and foremost, this thing sin is serious. This thing sin is dangerous to your soul. And there is a sin that if you die in it, because if you sin, you have opportunity to repent. But if you die in that sin without repenting, without having to change your mind, confessing that sin to God and asking him to come back into his good favor, if you die in that sin, that is your sin unto death. John says in 1 John 5, verse 16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. He said, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness, is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. But there is also a sin unto death. If you die in your sin, that is your sin unto death. You cannot recover from that. That is a no-win situation. I was teaching the class, and I mentioned to the class that you can lie and recover from that sin. You can cheat and recover from that sin. You can commit adultery and recover from that sin. You can commit murder and recover from that sin. You can do all manner of things and recover from that sin, but if you choose to continue, you cannot recover from a sin that you choose to continue in. It is a no win. And because sin is such a serious issue, it's such a serious matter, it's such a dangerous place to be in, as I close this evening, I hope you have grasped onto the seriousness of sin, and if you make a choice to continue in your sin, it is a no win. There is no possible outcome for you. There's no positive, good ending in that situation. Just as the executioner says to the condemned individual, you can choose to die by lethal injection, you can choose to die by hanging, you can choose to die by poison, you can choose to die by electrocution, you can choose to die by being shot, but at the end of the day, there is not a positive outcome for you in any situation when given that. A no win if you continue in sin. How serious is this thing? It is so serious, this thing called sin, that you and I have to be on constant guard against it. You have to be on constant guard against temptation, which is the pathway that leads to sin. If you stay on that pathway and you give in to that temptation, you are on the pathway to sin. You have given in to sin. It's not a sin to be tempted. Sometimes people say temptation and sin is the same thing. It's not the same thing. They're related. Temptation opens up the doors for sin. It puts you on the path towards sin. Jesus was tempted, and I know that you know that I know that you know that Jesus never sinned. But in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was tempted, but he never sinned. So temptation is not the same as sin, but if you stay on the path of temptation and give in to that path, you're going to step right into sin. You have to be on constant guard against it. Jesus says, if you die in it, why am you cannot come? There remaineth no more sacrifice for it. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, I'm talking to you about being vigilant. This is to those who are members of the body of Christ. We have to remain vigilant. If you are living a righteous and faithful life before God, it's my prayer that you stay doing that. You continue to do that. Stay vigilant. Because in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, Peter says, be sober. Be vigilant. Why the warning? Why the necessity? Look at what he's reference it to. He says, because your adversary, the devil. Peter says, here's the need to be sober. Here's the need to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he walked about seeking whom he may devour. You ever been really hungry and you sat down for a meal? And you got up, and your plate was clean, and you looked at your plate and said, boy, I was really hungry. I devoured that meal, and it was good, too. You completely destroyed it. Peter says, this is your adversary, the devil. He says, the warning, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, let me ask you this question as I close here. Would you accept an invitation to dinner from a lion? Let that sink in for a minute. Would you, once again, accept an invitation to dinner from a lion? An L-I-O-N, I'm talking about the king of the jungle, a beast, this big cat, man killer. Would you accept an invitation to dinner from a lion? When you give in to the devil, that's what you are doing. You're putting yourself in a position to be devoured, to be destroyed, in a position to perish. When you choose to continue in sin and not stop and take the opportunity to repent, and ask God for forgiveness. That's what you are doing. You are accepting an invitation from the devil. It's like accepting an invitation to dinner from a lion. You see, when the lion invites you to dinner, the question to us, you know, when we're invited to dinner somewhere, we in most cases we say, what do I need to bring? You know, somebody's gracious enough to invite us to dinner. You know, we don't want to show up empty-handed, right? So we'll get in touch with the person who invited us, and we'll say, well, what do I need to bring? And they'll say, well, you could bring a side dish, or you could bring a vegetable, or you could bring, and some people just say, just bring your appetite. But if you have this conversation, if you could have this conversation with the lion, and you say, what do I need to bring? The lion, he's not going to say, bring a vegetable tray. He's not going to say, bring a couple of appetizers. He's not going to say, bring some beverages for us. Bring a case of Coke, bring some tea. He's not gonna say, I tell you what, you bring the bread, or you bring the dessert. You know what the lion's gonna say to you? If you ask the lion, what do I need to bring for dinner? He's gonna say nothing. You just be on time. That's the devil. And what that lion has in store for you for that dinner, he says, you don't bring anything. You just be on time. You see, you are dinner. And when you start dealing with the devil and thinking about it as a lion, devours its prey. That's where you place yourself. That's the position you put yourself in, and you have put yourself in a no-win situation. Friends, as I close tonight, I want to remind you once again, it's a no-win. If you continue in sin, it's a no-win. If you continue in sin, there's no more sacrifice for sin. There is no more sacrifice for sin. However, there is a payday for sin. And if you die there in your sin, Jesus says, why am you cannot come? And sin, there's a sin unto death. That's the one that you die in. If you continue in sin, eventually you're going to die in your sin. I warn you, as Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, as I close, 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, I'm asking you to make a sound, sober decision tonight for Christ's name's sake, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. In 1 John 2, verse 12, it says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. When are our sins forgiven? They're forgiven in the water grave of baptism. In order for one to have their sins washed away, in order for you to listen on this call tonight, who is not a member of the body of Christ, in order for you to have your sins washed away, your sins remitted, to have your sins forgiven, you must render obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I spoke to you about this in Romans chapter 6. Go back and read that in its entirety when you get a chance. Go back and read and see what Paul said they did in order to become children of God, in order to have their sins remitted. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4, Paul lays out the facts of the gospel. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. What are we talking about tonight? The saving of your soul. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died, first of all, for our sins. Second of all, according to the scriptures, he was buried, and the third thing is that he rose again the third day, according to the scripture. Those are the facts of the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what it's going to do. Obedience to that, Romans chapter 6, verse 16 and 17, obedience to that will save you. It will free you from sin. You become a servant of righteousness. You're no longer a servant of sin. It's a no-win if you continue in sin. Once you hear that story, as Paul shares with us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4, you have to be willing to believe it. Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And then you must be willing to repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3 and 5, I spoke about it earlier. Jesus says, except you repent, you will perish. That's a finality. If you continue your sin, you will perish. So after you have repented, had a change of mind about sin and how abominable it is before God, and how despicable it is and what it costs the Son of God. You have to be willing to confess that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32-33, Jesus says, confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. What a trade-off. Then you have to be baptized in water for your remission of sins. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For your remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Ethiopian eunuch says, see, here's water. What does it hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believe with all thine heart, thou mayest. The eunuch said, I believe. This is Acts chapter 8. He said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the church to stand still. They both got down and went into the water, and he baptized me. He said, he came up out the water. It's a burial. And what happens in baptism? Your sins are remitted. You contact the blood of Christ. It's an answer of a good conscience towards God. An operation takes place. It's the beginning of reconciliation, of you coming back to God. Reconciliation is taking place. All these things happen in baptism. You contact the blood of Christ. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You come up, you're added to the body of Christ, the church of Christ, his family, his bride, his wife. He's coming back for her. He says, Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death, and I give you a crown of life. I pray this message has been beneficial to you tonight. But let me tell you what's not beneficial as I close. It's a no win if you continue in sin. It's a no win if you continue in sin. I pray that you will bring obedience to the gospel of Christ. Get in touch with someone who put you in touch on this call and have someone sit down and talk with you and share the message of the gospel of Christ with you and make sure you understand what you're doing. If you're a child of God, you're falling by the wayside, now it's an urgency. It's an urgency. Now you need to come back home. With that said, in all the love I have in my heart, I turn it back over to Brother Brooks at this time.